I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein. I found in my own life that I gain even more from these inspired sermons when I study them in greater depth.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught, find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle, and then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets, a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My name is Todd, and today I have with me my friends Rivka and Burke. How are you today, Burke?
I am doing quite well. Had kind of a lazy-ish Saturday hanging out at home, dealing with odds and ends, and I'm excited now to do this, put a little extra gospel in my day.
Awesome. I'm excited to have you with us. It's going to be great. And we also welcome Rivka. How are you today, Rivka?
I'm doing really well.
Awesome. Anything exciting for you today?
I had a chance to go visit my brother today.
Oh, good.
Yep.
It's always nice to see family.
It is.
And our additional party member is not here. Aaliyah, she's not here with us today. We're recording on a Saturday, which is a terrible day for a college student. Sure, she's doing something exciting like working or hanging out. Those are the two options, or doing homework or singing something. Those are four options now, but anyways. But yeah, she doesn't listen to the podcast, so I won't even say shout out to Aaliyah. So let's go on to our talk today, which is Seeing God's Family Through the Overview Lens by Sister Tamara W. Runya, something like that, First Counselor in the Young Women General Presidency. All right. So I always find it interesting to hear talks from people who are in organizational presidencies like Sunday school, young women, young men, whether they're going to direct it right at the people in their organization or to everybody. This is really towards everybody, and it's about seeing our families with God's eyes and really zooming out and taking the long eternal view as we interact with members of our family. And she didn't explicitly focus in on parents, but a lot of her perspective is that of a parent. And so it really felt like it was especially geared toward parents. So let's start with Burke. What was your fundamental doctrine?
All right. She says, sometimes all we can see is that up-close magnified view of those we love. Tonight, I invite you to zoom out and look through a different lens, an eternal lens that focuses on the big picture, your bigger story.
Awesome. What does that mean to you, Burke?
Well, you know, it's interesting because you just barely said that it seems like it's focused more at parents. And when I read it, I think just because of the mental space I was in, it made me feel more connected as a child of God. Less from the parent aspect and more from the child aspect. So when I was thinking big picture, it was more, you know, where do I stand in the eternities and how does God see me, I guess. So,
okay. And so how did this impact how you feel that God sees you?
Well, another central doctrine I marked that goes right along with this, she says, God sees the grand overview of the universe. He sees all creation, all of us, and is filled with hope. And I thought, well, if he looks at my life and has hope, then I should probably have more than I often do. So,
do you feel like thinking of it more from the child of God point of view, do you feel like you need more hope for yourself or for humanity in general?
I feel like those two things are directly connected.
Like true.
If I had more hope for humanity in general, it'd be easier to have hope for myself maybe, but I don't know. It's a good question.
Okay. Very interesting. So one thing I love about our discussions is Burke and I have a very similar conviction in how we feel about the gospel, but we often come at it from different perspectives. So I love hearing what you have to say, Burke, because it enlarges my view as well. Helps me zoom out, you might say.
Thank you.
So, Rivka, what was your fundamental doctrine?
I've been bouncing back and forth between two, but I think it's this. Everything you and you and you are worried about, it's all going to be okay.
I love it.
I felt like that was the underlying message of this talk for me. and then a whole talk explaining how that could possibly be.
So how does that apply to your life? I mean, she's taking this eternal view. Are you thinking about whatever happens here, you know, it'll be rectified in heaven? Or are you thinking more of a day-to-day level? How did that impact you?
I think both of those things to some extent. But so much of what at least I got from this talk was that if we understand that from an overarching, you know, when we're done with this life and in the next world as things become what they're going to be, and she says they'll be better than we can even imagine. She's not the first person in confidence to say that. That if we can grasp that idea, then on a day when we are, our faith in that is floundering, it helps when we're in a struggle. Or at least in my experience, the Spirit can help me by reminding me that that's something I know and pull me out of the fear and the worry and the panic that I get in sometimes.
Okay. Sort of a Liberty Jail encouragement. This will be but a small moment.
Yeah, sort of that. Sometimes that's it. Other times it's like, you're not actually in Liberty Jail. Like, it's okay, breathe. Like, this isn't as bad as you think it is, you know? Oh, like,
right.
Yeah, sometimes it's that. You think you're having that experience right now, but you're not. It's okay. Things aren't as bad right now as you think they are. Sometimes they really are that bad, but sometimes they're not quite that bad.
Okay.
The Spirit can help us with both.
All right. I love it. Well, I'm going to guess what Aaliyah would have picked for her fundamental doctrine. All right. So I'll ask her later, or maybe I'll encourage her to actually listen to these two episodes since she wasn't on. But it's going to be one of these two things. So if you continued, you know, further down into the talk, it's, you know, more towards the middle, slightly past the middle. She says, our hope changes the way they see themselves and who they really are. And through this lens of love, they'll see who they will become. And then skip a paragraph. Remember, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So the reason I'm representing Aaliyah with these is she has actually quoted that. I guess it's just sort of a proverb. Because she, if you click the footnote, it says traditional proverb. She has quoted that to me before. And it's something she's worked really hard on. She is she wouldn't describe it this way, but she's very capable. She's very driven. She's very talented. So when she's doing stuff by herself, she just sprints, you know, and she's just goes all in, high intensity, works hard, does the very best she can. And then when she gets with other people, she's like, come on, people, let's go. Let's go. I'm tired of waiting. And so she's worked very hard to have patience and understand that many of her interactions, especially in the church, are not about the end product of what they're trying to accomplish. It's about the relationship and the gospel. Or, you know, God's not interested in efficiency. Otherwise, why would he use us to do his work? So she, I think that would have resonated with her. And I feel a lot of the same, and was grateful to have that lesson taught to me by a friend in my last ward, and really changed how I approached, you know, meetings and personal interactions. So, okay, well, let's continue on. So, Burke sort of started at the beginning there, you know, with his fundamental doctrine, which came just after sort of a cute story where she was looking at one of her daughters through glasses and was like, oh, she's so big. And she starts to get emotional about it and moves the glasses to wipe away a tear and realizes, oh, she's not that big. Just the glasses.
Yeah.
So maybe this goes back to what Rivka just said, and it's a fortunate coincidence that she talked about it and I was going to ask you guys about it. But Burke, we'll start with you. Is there something in your life that has an experience you've had that has really benefited from a change in perspective, that the Lord has enlarge your perspective, made it more eternal, and it didn't seem like as big of a deal as it seemed before you got that perspective? That's a tough question, I know.
Well, it seems like almost like every hard thing I've ever overcome started off with me thinking this is totally impossible. And then looking back in hindsight with the, you know, accompaniment of the Spirit to be like, oh yeah, God does know what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, when I was 21 years old and sent home early from a mission because I was too sick to do it anymore and got diagnosed with a illness that promised to be with me for the rest of my life. Basically, it was incurable, but hopefully treatable, but who knew? And, you know, now I'm 45 years old in remission from that disease and I'm a doctor. And like, there was a lot of really hard stuff in between those, you know, those two things. And it hasn't stopped. You know, I still have hard stuff, which is one of the reasons I really just love this talk this week, because I needed it so much. So
yeah, great. So that's sort of with the retrospectoscope, right? Looking back, the Lord gave you that eternal perspective. And sometimes it sure would be nice. That reminds me of the talk of the guy a few talks ago about, hey, do you want to be happy? Just follow the commandments.
Yeah.
Where he's like, my wife never got an answer as to why the Lord would put this burden of a calling on us at the, one of the hardest times in our lives. But then we just looked back and it was like, oh, it was okay. It was fine.
Yep.
So, well, Rivka, how about you? Anything more specific? You gave us a great general idea of having had that feeling before. Is there any specific example of where you lifted off the earthly glasses and it helped you have a better perspective on something?
This is me currently. Like, I'm currently going through this with a really specific situation. So in her talk, she says, I will admit that there are times when Earth, our temporal home, feels like an island of sorrow, moments when I have one eye of faith and the other eye is weeping. Do you know this feeling? I had it Tuesday. Hmm. I had it Thursday.
It was Monday. Yeah, it was Monday for me. Yeah.
Yeah. So currently in it, and it's a situation that has to do with a relationship of mine, and where I wanted, something happened and I wanted to act and I wanted to do something in the situation to try to fix or remedy, or I don't know. I wanted to do something. And it's a situation in which my doing something wouldn't really be that. I mean, it really wouldn't have been inappropriate. But as I was going to do it, the Spirit quite literally stopped my mouth and I was told to stop. That this was not mine to deal with right now, that he was going to take care of things. And I am still wrestling with that because I still want to fix the thing.
Uh-huh.
I have felt since Thursday, so it's been a few days, I have consistently felt as like my worry and my panic and I don't know, just, I don't even know if panic's the right word, just this desire to act, like, have bubbled up. I keep feeling the Spirit just almost feels like a spiritual, like, weighted blanket. Calming me down. Like, just settle down. Just settle down and sit here. This isn't yours to deal with. And just have faith. Have faith in me. What does she say? There's this, hang on. There's a line in here where, right here. Is there something difficult in your life right now? Something you're worried can't be resolved? Without the eye of faith, that might feel like God has lost oversight of things. And is that true? And I read that today as I was marking up this thing. And because I had listened to this talk several times, but I hadn't listened to it after Thursday. And so then I read it tonight and I was like, oh, that is exactly what I'm doing. Like, I'm behaving as though God has lost oversight of things and he is trying to tell me he has not, and that I need to step back and this is not something I need to worry about. So this is actively happening in my life right now.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. So did the timing of this talk change how you felt or change how all these things went down for you?
You know, I really wish that in that moment I had thought, you know, I've been listening to this talk about this thing and it's really helpful. No, I wish that was what had happened. But then when I sat down today to read it and actually mark out the things that I wanted to share or talk about, I was like, oh, Why did I think about this on Thursday? So I don't know. There you go. That is what it really looks like in real life to try to live the gospel.
See, and I was listening to this talk this week, and it was like those lines from Groundhog Day. Me. But not the hopeful parts. No. She's like, when I find myself at the tree eating the fruit and crying because I'm worried. Really? Yes. How helpful is that? And I was like, yep, that's me.
That was me too. I was like, oh, yeah. Yes.
Well, then she goes on, Burke, with a smile on your face, continue to beckon to those you love and show by example that eating the fruit is a happy thing.
Yeah. Well, she says that first, actually. She says that's what we should be doing. And so I heard her say that, and as I listened to the talk and she's saying that, I was like, yeah, that's what I should be doing, but that's really not what I'm doing. And then right after it, she's like, because this is what I do. And I was like, oh, me too.
Well, then how do you turn that frown upside down and do what she recommends?
Well, so the way I was trying to do it at this point in time was by listening to conference. And then right after I listened to this talk, I put the Christmas devotional again.
Oh,
and I think I listened to it twice in a row. And it wasn't like I was really listening to it. It was more just like I was thinking in circles while it was on in the background. Mm-hmm. But then when I got to where I was driving, I felt much better. Great. Even though I hadn't fixed anything that I was worried about, I still just felt better. So sometimes the Spirit can just do that for you.
That is so true. And Elder Gong in a top hat doesn't hurt. You know?
It does not.
Definitely does not.
Even if you're just listening to it and remembering him in a top hat, still good. And his red scarf.
Indeed. Well, she talks, you guys have both used this terminology here or alluded to it. She says, having this eye of faith now is a recapturing or an echo of the faith that we had before we came to this planet. It sees past the uncertainty of the moment, allowing us to cheerfully do all things that lie in our power, and then stand still. So sometimes that's the answer, is to just hold and let the Lord do what he's going to do. So very interesting. Well, Burke, let's continue on with other quotes of the talk. What else really stood out to you from this?
It was interesting when you were reading what you thought would be Aaliyah's central doctrine earlier that you skipped over this part here where she said, the adversary does not want us or our loved ones to return home together. And because we live on a planet that is bound by time and a finite number of years, he tries to perpetuate a very real sense of panic in us. It's hard to see when we're zoomed in that our direction matters more than our speed. And this is funny because my best friend in high school that I also roomed with at college, his dad, who was a statistician, always said that when you're driving, speed is more important than direction. Like, you will drive way around to get through traffic and actually have it take longer. But as long as you're moving the whole time, you feel like you're accomplishing something. And she said that's very zoomed in, if you're thinking that.
Oh.
Because really, what matters more to God is our direction, not our speed. So, yeah, and that's the problem. You said stand still, and I'm like, yeah, but when you stand still, you're not doing anything. You should be doing this. So clearly, I still struggle with this principle.
But you're also not doing anything negative when you're standing still.
Hopefully not, but I may be going very fast alone.
Yeah. And I bet you Rivka would say that you're actively having faith in the Lord, that faith is a principle of action and power. And by standing still, you are choosing to put your faith in the Lord and being active in that way. I don't know. What do you think, Rivka?
I think that's true. I was just sitting here thinking maybe standing still is another way to say be at peace.
Ooh, that's much better than what I just said.
No, it isn't. It's good. Good ideas.
Because that's a powerful principle that you're I don't know. Inner peace. That's what Po from Kung Fu Panda was looking for, right? So,
aren't we all?
That and cookies. All right. Well, Rivka, what other quotes did you want to pull out from here?
Well, here's the thing that she said that like smacked me with the 10 on the Bednar index stick. That's the right end, right?
The yep. Block end. The 10 end.
Yep, sure.
Yes.
The end.
You're getting hit with it. Yes.
Yeah. This is it. Ready? Worry feels a lot like love, but it's not the same.
Oof. I highlighted that one. Tell me why you highlighted.
Oh, because so often we say things like, I'm just worried about them because I love them. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, I think both of those statements are true. I'm worrying about them and I love them. But she's saying maybe they don't quite have the same relationship that we think they do, those two things. Worry feels a lot like love, but it's not the same. And then later in the talk, she says, unfortunately, the memory of eating the fruit is not enough. We need to partake again and again in ways that reposition our lens and connect us to the heavenly overview by opening up the scriptures, which are filled with light to chase away the darkness, staying on our knees until our casual prayers turn mighty. And I think that maybe that is a better use of our energy when we have a concern than just sitting and worrying and fretting about things.
Yeah. And you could add going to the temple there too, the fundamentals, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought a lot this week about this idea of prayers turning mighty. And one of the things that occurred to me is that maybe, because I was thinking, what is a mighty prayer? Like, how do I know if what I'm saying is a mighty prayer? And like, not a panicked one or a worried one, because some of those feel pretty mighty, because I'm like, please help this, or please fix this. And it's more forceful than mighty, maybe. And one of the things that, I started to consider was that maybe when we are praying, so this is what has happened to me sometimes, is I will pray about something and pray about something, and then finally the prayer will change a little bit. And it's almost like the Spirit is saying, yes, that was the right thing to pray for. Like, you were almost there, but you weren't quite praying for the right thing. Then you've prayed for the right thing. And that a mighty prayer is us praying for the right thing, and somehow that affecting the power of our Father in heaven to act mightily in the situation we're praying about.
So you're defining a mighty prayer as one that is aligned with the will of the Lord.
Yeah. And that product, and like, what that produces can be mighty.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I love it. I think she also juxtaposes it with casual prayer. Mm-hmm. So perhaps praying with real intent is which the thing that aligns us with the Lord is, by really seeking out his will instead of just like, thank you for this, bless us with that, etc.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's really actually pretty easy to pray for things that we want.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's sure. Kind of the easiest prayer, because we're very driven for it. And so
that
can probably be considered a casual prayer. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It doesn't take a lot of thought. It's just we're praying for what we want. Please fix this. Please give us this. Please do that. And so for it to not be a casual prayer, like what you were saying, putting in the effort to align ourselves with Heavenly Father's will so we can pray for that. That
right.
Takes a lot more work. That's far less casual than just praying for the things we want.
Right. I love it. Well, that paragraph, Rivka, unfortunately, the memory of eating the fruit is not enough. Mm-hmm. That was actually my personal fundamental doctrine. I sort of was representing Aaliyah here, but that's what I marked, probably to the surprise of no one. and then going back up, just a quick shout out here. That first sentence you read, he'd learned from experience that worry feels a lot like love, but it's not the same. That reference, if you go to the footnote, it's from a Jody Moore podcast. For those who don't know, Jody Moore is a life coach, and she trains life coaches, and she basically helps people sort of, I'm gonna destroy this. I should have had Deanna on, because Deanna loves Jody Moore. She helps people like understand and process their emotions, and maybe this isn't saying it right, but sort of not let their emotions be in charge. Deanna always says, like, boss your brain.
Yeah.
So like, yes, thank you, brain, for telling me that I feel anxious about this. And now I'm going to move on with my life and choose how I actually want to respond to it, that sort of thing. So interesting that she was referenced in General Conference. Boy, we're running out of time. And I feel like we've talked a lot about how this eternal perspective impacts how we feel and how we... interact with situations we're in, but I feel like she spent a huge amount of time talking about how we interact with other people, and we maybe haven't focused on that. So I don't think we have time to go through all of it. So what I'm going to do instead is encourage everyone to read it. She says to treat everyone with hope and to sometimes stand still and to not always worry or criticize or, one of our parenting classes that Deanna and I took talked about command, control, and correct or something like that. So instead, what I would like to do is hear from each of you. Burke, is there someone in your life who always made you feel like you could accomplish anything and helped you to be the best person that you could be?
I don't think there's a single person that I can put in the always category for that the whole time. I mean, even my parents, with whom I have a great relationship, I have a very different relationship with them now than I did when I was a kid. I view them very differently. Mm-hmm. But I would have to say, she says here early in the talk, everybody needs a cheerleader. That for me, at least in the last, in my professional development period of time, my dad has been my greatest cheerleader. And even this week, when I was really struggling, I've noted before that my parents can fly retired class standby because I have a sister who's a pilot for a major airliner. And they found out I was going to be off this week, this Wednesday, and just said, hey, I think we can come out Tuesday if you want to pick us up at the airport on the way home from work, and then we'll leave Wednesday afternoon. And when they asked me to do that a week ago, I didn't know that when they showed up on Tuesday was going to be right when I needed them. Mm. And it was amazing. You know, I got a blessing from my dad that really helped to bring back some of this perspective, and it was perfect. So yeah, everyone needs a cheerleader. I was really grateful for my cheerleader this week. So
fantastic. Thank you, Burke. Rivka, how about you? Anyone who's always helped you to feel like someone believed in you and that you could achieve anything you wanted to?
I can think of a number of people who have been that way for me, but the first one that came to my mind when you asked that question was my maternal grandmother. Who
Ruby.
Yes, she was very much that way, at least for me. She always called me her number one granddaughter, which was really just because I was the first granddaughter that was born, but it felt different. And she got me a little gift every year on my piano anniversary, which was the anniversary of like when I started taking piano lessons. And she came to like all my performances, and she raved and praised and was just always so enthusiastic. All the time. It didn't matter what I did. She just thought I was so wonderful for doing it. And that's amazing. I miss her, and I miss that a lot.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I think the best answer is Deanna, but that's also cheating a little bit. So,
Why is that cheating?
Because it's so obvious.
There are many marriages where that is not the default answer. So I'm glad it is for you.
Well, it is. Every time, like when I took the MCAT, I was like, oh, it was terrible, I failed. And she's like, no, you didn't. You did amazing, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I get the score and it's much better than I thought. She always, whenever I doubt myself, she doesn't doubt me. But I think the answer, the official answer I want to give is someone that Deanna would agree with on. And I think if you go through and read this whole talk, fits exactly what she's talking about. So it's our dear friends, the Thomases, who was our stake president when we were in Wisconsin for most of our time there. Every time we interacted with them or went to their house or whatever, just talked to them, it felt like when we were done, like we were going to be better people just for being in their presence. They never like did anything specific. They weren't vocally cheerleading per se. I mean, sometimes they did that, but mostly it was just they loved you, and so you wanted to be the best person that you could, not because you didn't want to disappoint them, but because you thought that you could, because they believed in you and loved you. And I know that's Christ-like love to me. It's the love that's so powerful that someone changes because they felt it. Yeah. And I think that's what she's talking about here. How you achieve that for other people, I have no idea. I have thought about it for years and years, and I've tried so hard in many ways to accomplish it, and I have no idea how to do it or how it works. So something I'm going to keep working on. Quick promises and blessings, Burke. Let's go with you.
She says, it's the Savior's work to bring our loved ones back. It's His work and His timing. And then here's the invitation. It is our work to provide the hope and a heart they can come home to. And I think that's what you were just talking about. I don't know that I'm very successful at this, but I would certainly like to be.
Yeah. To make your home a place where people want to be because they feel loved, but also they want to be better because yeah. they feel loved. Awesome. Thanks, Burke. And Rivka, any invitations or promise blessings?
Right at the end, she says, you and I, we can do this. We can hold on and hope on. We can stay at the tree and partake of the fruit with a smile on our face, letting the light of Christ in our eyes become something others can count on in their darkest hours. As they see light manifest in our countenances, they will be drawn to it. We can then help refocus their attention to the original source of love and light, the bright and morning star, Jesus Christ.
Beautiful. All right. Well, great talk and something to live up to, and hopefully something to provide us hope. And for the record, she did quote old President Nelson, and she definitely talked about hope. Aaliyah is keeping track of that.
Yeah, so.
The next talk we're going to discuss is called Brothers and Sisters in Christ by Elder Ulises Suarez of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, and that will be our final talk in the Saturday evening session. In the meantime, you can get a hold of us by finding us on Instagram and Facebook at Words of the Prophets Podcast, or emailing us at wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com. I just recently remembered that I was in charge of all those things, and so I responded to some messages from about a month ago. So, yeah, keep at it. I'm going to try to do my best, but it is not my forte. So, but thanks for joining us today, everyone, and until next time, keep the faith.
If we teach by the Spirit and you listen by the Spirit, some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.